You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. FWA podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the Football Writers Association podcast here with William Hill. Good morning to everyone. First of all, let me introduce our guest this morning. Every single week we have one of the top football writers in the land to preview the weekend action and talk about the burning issues in the world of the sport. And this week, no different. We've got John Cross from the Daily Mirror, the chief football writer, on the line right now. First of all, good morning, John.
Very good morning. Nice to be with you.
How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. Yeah, been a busy 24 hours. Nothing ever dull in football, really, with Jose Mourinho's sacking in. It interrupted the Mirror Christmas lunch. So I think Jose Mourinho just about managed to get his down before being sacked. But I didn't even make dessert, so it's been a busy day or so. But nothing changes in football, I guess.
How inconsiderate of Chelsea Football Club, John.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's talk about his sacking. Was it... Obviously, it's been coming, hasn't it? The results haven't been there for Jose Mourinho or Chelsea Football Club. Was he an architect of his own downfall, or was this player power in action?
I do think it's a bit of both, really. And I think it's almost a question of kind of, you know, it's the chicken and the egg on this one, and it's and what came first. And it's I think fundamentally, Mourinho has been ousted by players and failing to, I think, motivate the players. I think you've seen that through results, and I also think you've kind of seen that in the sort of the way that the players have responded or failed to respond after setback after setback. Let's not forget that these players are the same ones that won the title at a canter last May, and I just think since that time, 7 months later, here we are sort of in December with fundamentally the same group of players, the same squad, slightly changed. I think Petr Cech was a big mistake on Chelsea's part. I don't think Mourinho was happy with that. I think also Drogba going was a big part of that. And I think when we talk about kind of player unrest and disharmony, I think you have to look sometimes as to big characters. Well, there's few bigger characters over the last sort of decade or so for Chelsea than Drogba and Cech, and they were definitely big misses for them. But I do think Mourinho's message, I think his anger and, you know, kind of fuming really and sort of kind of really agitating with the world has brought his own downfall, because he's just fallen out with so many times, with so many different players and so many different levels. Now, I think sooner or later, and it's obviously happened sooner rather than later, I think Mourinho's been ousted because of those reasons.
And you look back through his managerial career, John, in the early parts, he's never really been at a club for more than 3 years, but in the early part of his career, left at the summit, wherever he was. Recently, at Real Madrid and Chelsea, the relationship between himself and the players has soured in this third year, and that's the case at Chelsea. Again, I wonder if there's anything in that.
Yeah, I do think there's an element in that. I think what will really interest me about this is that in 2015, I think the club sort of talked about wanting to build a legacy. And in August, just before the start of the season, he signed a new contract, 4 years. And I think that sort of kind of really takes him onto new territory. And we thought, didn't we, that really... Mourinho, on the back of winning the title, was here to stay long term and build something special. And this was going to be a departure from everything else that he'd done previously in his career, because he wanted to stay somewhere, build foundations, lay down roots. And I think that, I think Mourinho is a boom and bust manager fundamentally, whereas I think he can kind of obviously get a tune out of players and does so brilliantly. I think that in the first sort of in charge, I think he was kind of surveyor of everything that he sort of commanded. I think players would run through brick walls for him. Last season, he obviously got them playing extremely well. But I think this season, I think it's all gone incredibly badly wrong. And you wonder whether Mourinho's kind of temperament, he's always... I think when things don't go his way, he's always spoiling for a fight, I think. He's quick to blame others. And I just wonder whether that's kind of a, you know, a sign of temperamental management, whereas I think other managers who stay longer term are in for the job for the long haul, and they're more diplomatic than Mourinho. And I think, I guess when Mourinho looks back upon his second spell in charge at Chelsea, if he does have ambitions to stay longer anywhere else, and I can't believe, by the way, that he will come back into Premier League management anytime soon, then I do think he'll probably have to accept that he needs to change if he is to lay down foundations. Make no mistake about it, I think he'll go on and be successful somewhere else. But I think if he does want to, for example, manage for a decade at a club, then I do think he needs to change his methods.
We have got betting for Jose Mourinho's next permanent job on the William Hill website. Manchester United 2-1 favourites in that market. Paris Saint-Germain is 3-1. Real Madrid 4-1. Bayern Munich 5-1. Manchester City 8-1, and it's 10-1 and bigger the rest. Where do you see Jose Mourinho turning up next?
Real Madrid. I think that's a good bet, that, because I just feel that there's a lot of informed people, including the former president of the club, Ramon Calderon, talking about how the current president, Florentino Perez, who I don't like each other particularly, but I do think that there's a sort of respect and a knowledge of each other. There, and I think that Perez unquestionably likes Mourinho, still regards him well. People might find that difficult to swallow, bearing in mind, obviously, Mourinho, his spell in charge at Madrid sort of ended in meltdown and disharmony and disquiet in 2013. But I think that he brings success. I think Madrid are going from bad to worse under Rafa Benitez. They need a big name. Mourinho's that big name. And I do think there's every chance that he will be back in charge for the start of next season, if not before.
4-1, good price. Real Madrid to be Jose Mourinho's next permanent job. And next Chelsea manager on the website as well. And Gus Hiddink is a very short price here. Been well backed, very well backed, John, here with William Hill. 2-9 for Gus Hiddink to be next permanent Chelsea manager. Awande Ramos is 7-1. Pep Guardiola, 7-1. Diego Simeone in the betting at 9-1. Antonio Conte and Joachim Löw, both 10s, and it's 16s and bigger the rest. Gus Hiddink, is he a shoo-in for the Chelsea job, 2-9?
Well, he is, and it'll be interesting to know whether that sort of qualifies, whether it's permanent or caretaker. Because, look, I think he's in a position where he's done this before. He's taken temporary charge before, and it's worked out well. And I think that he will oversee things until the end of the season, until next summer. He's 69 years of age. His last job with Holland, you know, the sort of the big one, if you like, didn't go to plan. But I do think he is a diplomat, as we mentioned before. And I think if you're looking for a manager with a cool head and experience, then he's your man to kind of try and bring that dressing room back into line. But I think it will be a temporary fix. I'm convinced right. It will be Hiddink until the end of the season. And then I think my money would be, and again, I think those are decent odds, by the way, for Diego Simeone. I think Simeone is a good fit. I think they'd like Guardiola more, but I think Guardiola's your man in demand, isn't he? And I think that he has pretty much said on record about reticence about working with a particular style of owner and a particular style of club. And I think at the moment, Chelsea's quite volatile. I think he wants a more stable environment. I just think, though, the worry for me about Chelsea is that they'd be going from another, you know, one hothead in Mourinho to another hothead in Simeone. And I do think that would be a concern, I think, for Chelsea. But if he can deliver trophies like Mourinho has, then Simeone will be a hit. But I do think, again, it's got all the promise of being one of those where it'll be a fun, lively rollercoaster ride, but it probably won't last that long.
That was my only concern with Simeone. He's got quite a similar style to Mourinho in the way he manages, quite animated on the touchline and quite pragmatic in the way he sets a team up. I just wondered whether Roman Abramovich would want someone a little bit more cavalier in terms of the style that style of football that he plays.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you. I think that he, on the touchline, he's in entertainment, isn't he? You watch him, and he's so excitable. He's all over the place. And I think that's part of his charm. And, you know, he has got that very fiery sort of temperament in him. I just think, though, that he has done a wonderful job at Atletico. I mean, he's taken them from kind of the B group of teams, if you like, and put them in the mix there with Barcelona and Real Madrid, of course. They're great rivals. And frankly, they look competitive. They look strong. He's built entertaining teams. I would say he's also built a team there that's a bit more formulaic than kind of really sort of free and attacking, yeah, and sort of, you know, dynamic in that regard. They get the job done, but they're well organised. They're hard to beat. And I do think that will bring results at Chelsea. But I think more than anything else, the worry for me is how on earth does any one manager repair that dressing room and overhaul that group of players?
Yeah, absolutely. And just for full transparency purposes, I'll read you the rules for this next permanent Chelsea manager market here with William Hill. The next permanent manager of the football club will be settled on an official statement from the club or on the official club website stating that an individual has been appointed as manager for the first team for a year or more, unless otherwise stated. So if Gus Hiddink does come in just as a temporary replacement for Jose Mourinho, it will be settled on the next boss, who was in charge for more than a year. So that definitely brings Simeone into the reckoning there. A 9-1 Simeone, fourth favourite behind Gus Hiddink, who's at the top of the betting at 2-9. John, let's get stuck into the weekend's action then that's televised in the Premier League. And we'll start with Newcastle versus Villa, which is 5:30 on Saturday evening. And Newcastle 21-20 to win the game. The draw 12-5 and Aston Villa 13-5. Couple of big wins for Newcastle in the last couple of weeks, John, against Liverpool and Tottenham. Both of those came in front of the Sky cameras, and they've got another televised match here. That might be a good thing for Newcastle.
Yeah, I mean, I was at Spurs last Sunday to watch Newcastle, and sort of obviously McLaren has gone from almost seeming like dead man walking with two games to save his job to winning those two games, and suddenly Newcastle really have got this amazing opportunity, if they can beat Aston Villa, to put daylight between them and the rest and kind of move towards mid-table security. I mean, it has been a remarkable turnaround. Tottenham was a strange game because I felt that Tottenham were excellent first half. Newcastle really came back after what McLaren described as some sort of dressing room inquest at half time, and you could see that the players were then playing with a greater belief and determination. And I think if they can show anything like that, then they'll completely overwhelm Aston Villa. I was so impressed with Sissoko making marauding runs down the right hand side, and obviously McLaren substitutes with Perez and Mitrovic also both working to a T. I think many of Newcastle's problems have been defensively. They looked a little bit shaky, I would say, and still in that regard. But they have got decent players going forward, particularly from midfield. And I think in Sissoko, they've got a potential match winner. And for Villa, I mean, you just don't know where to start. I was lucky enough to go up to Birmingham on Wednesday and see the Aston Villa chief executive, Tom Fox, who a very, very convincing guy, very smart guy, and still absolutely behind Remy Gard and kind of what's going on at Aston Villa. But I fear that while Gard is a bold, ambitious appointment, I think it might have to be something that the club eventually accepts is for the longer term rather than the short term, because I think no miracle worker could get them out of relegation trouble, I fear, at the moment. Such a shame because it's such a big club.
6 points from 16 games. They're pretty much doomed, aren't they, now? I know we talked back in August about the relegation picture, and Aston Villa, it would take a miracle now for them to survive, I think.
Yeah, it would. I think no club, certainly not in the Premier League era, has come back from this far down. I just think you need to break it down into kind of what they need to do for the rest of the season. I just refuse to believe that from the remaining games, ultimately, they would have to get, 11 wins?
Yeah.
And I just think they're running out of time. There's nothing there to suggest that they've got enough determination, enough quality, or enough form, I don't think, to dig that sort of turn of results and turn of form around. It's a shame. I like many of their their players. You know, Mickey Richards epitomises that spirit. But I do think that kind of, you know, when you consider what they lost, I think in the summer, then I think that you know, kind of they've got a lot of ground to make up. And I do think that the sort of kind of, you know, Remy Gard, as I say, might be a decent long-term fit and I think might embrace some of the younger players. I think he's made a habit of that in the past, but I don't think he'll be able to, you know, get them out of danger this time.
Newcastle 21-20, the bet in the tea time kickoff on Saturday. Let's move on to Sunday's live matches, John, and we start with Watford versus Liverpool at 1:30 start time on Sunday afternoon. Watford 11-4 to win this game. The draw is 12-5, and Liverpool in the betting at even money. Strange end to the Liverpool West Brom game. Liverpool rescuing that point and then celebrating as if they'd won the title. Out on the pitch, the players with Jurgen Klopp. I thought it was all slightly weird.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? And I read every single column inch, and I still can't quite understand or get Jurgen Klopp's reasoning for that bizarre Borussia Dortmund style, because he did that on a regular basis, don't forget, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, celebration after a 2-2 draw with West Brom. It doesn't really particularly look great, I don't think.
I just think the players might be feeling slightly embarrassed by it all.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think that the Liverpool fans then that kind of, you know, sort of come back and sort of say, what happened there? Well, we're quickly sort of pointing out this was his way of thanking the Liverpool fans, who we obviously criticised for leaving early a few weeks ago. To say thanks very much indeed for your support and staying with us. And I guess that's a nice touch. But it's just, I'm not sure whether that sort of sends out a great message. The feud with Tony Pulis on the touchline, he's a passionate guy, Jurgen Klopp. They work very hard. I've been very, very impressed with them away from home. And that's why I think this game sort of just springs out at me as perhaps I think Watford have had some great success on the road. Liverpool have had better results on the road under Jurgen Klopp so far. So I therefore think, I do fancy kind of Liverpool for this one. I think their high-tempo pressing game is suited to perhaps sort of counter-attacking away results. And I just think that sort of it's going to be a really entertaining season, I think, with Jurgen Klopp. And I think he's the sort of almost the story unravelling a little bit at Liverpool, because I do think his sound bites are good. He's always strong messages. I think he's very entertaining. He's a likeable character. His smile is infectious. And I do think Liverpool can still have a good season. But I do think it will be an inconsistent one until he really gets to grips with this squad. And I don't think he'd probably be able to do that until next summer.
Mm. OK, Liverpool, the selection there in that game. Even money Liverpool to win it. The 4 p.m. kickoff on Sunday is Swansea versus West Ham. Swansea 21-20 to win this match. The draw 23-10, and West Ham in the market at 13-5. Swansea's decline has come as a bit of a surprise, John, and they're only above the relegation zone on goal difference at the moment. Their results need to pick up quickly.
They do, and I think obviously the uncertainty around the manager I think only sort of kind of perpetuates that. I think the removal and dismissal of Gary Monk, I wouldn't say surprise people, because he's been mooted for a while that he's been in trouble. But I don't. What surprised me is that the Swansea removed him without having a plan in place, and I think that's clear. I think Hugh Jenkins has gone to South America this week, the chairman, to look at various people, including talking to Marco Biesla.
Yeah.
Who I imagine would probably be favourite, wouldn't he, for the job next time?
But he is.
I think that Swansea have got an okay squad. They shouldn't be where they are. They are struggling big time with goals. They have conceded far too many, and I think that's obviously tested the confidence of Fabianski, who was a very good goalkeeper for them last season. And then also, I think you've also seen kind of Ashley Williams, an absolute rock in the heart of the defence, you know, have a little bit of an indifferent spell of form. And I think that suddenly you've got Swansea, who most people would say, oh, well, I wonder what they can do after last season's impressive finish, their best ever in the Premier League under Gary Monk, suddenly questioning whether sort of Swansea will
in the longer term, become embroiled in a relegation scrap. They already look to be, I mean, myself included, I would look at that team and say that's got far too much to be where they are at the moment. But I tell you, every game at the moment will be a challenge and a test and bring a different style of pressure. And I do think that game on Sunday will be no different.
Marcelo Bielsa, by the way, is 1-2 favourite here with William Hill to be next permanent Swansea manager. Given what you've said about how it was muted for a long time, that Gary Monk was on the way out, it's a surprise that the club didn't have a contingency plan for that. I found that strange.
Yeah, I felt that they bided their time with Monk because they basically were moving towards making an appointment. And that's, you know, that's the way I read it, and that was my understanding of the situation. They've either looked at a couple of candidates, and I do think they spoke to Brendan Rodgers to ascertain whether he was available or not, and he didn't fancy going back. I know also they spoke to Gus Poyet, and clearly I still think there might be something in that if the other things don't work out. And their conversations around that, but I guess they've had reservations about that and have moved towards Bielsa. But I mean, Jenkins has this reputation of going a little bit left field and doing the unexpected, and I think it's worked well for him. I know Monk had a lot of sympathy from people and a lot of empathy from kind of, you know, fellow managers and players and what have you. But I think Jenkins is a very shrewd operator. Normally gets it right, but likes to be seen to be doing his thing, his way. And if that means left field, and Bielsa, for me, would be, I think it would be a gamble, despite his pedigree. Very attractive style, different style. And I do think that kind of it would be a risk for Swansea. But I do think that Jenkins generally gets it right. But I do think he needs to make an appointment sooner rather than later. And I think they need to do that quickly to steady the ship.
We finish, John, with the big match of the weekend, Monday night, Arsenal versus Manchester City. Arsenal 6-4, the draw 12-5, and Manchester City 7-4. I know some traditionalists don't like to see a match of this stature on a Monday night, but I love it, John. I love seeing a match under the lights when it matters so much, and Arsenal versus Manchester City should be a belter.
I think it should be. And like you, I'm really up for this. I think it's sort of Monday night. I think it's really good. We had some absolute sort of crackers recently. I mean, I tell you what, I thought Leicester-Chelsea was a terrific game last Monday. It was great, wasn't it? And I tell you what, I think Arsenal City, I think if Arsenal can maybe get Sanchez back, I think at this stage I would suggest that perhaps he'll be starting from the bench and maybe coming on. I think you could tell from Arsene Wenger's tone that he doesn't clearly think he's quite ready to start. That's a huge blow for Arsenal because I think Sanchez would be fired up for it and I think would make a massive difference for Arsenal. But I think if you look at it, I'd be surprised if Arsenal changed their line-up really from the team that won at Olympiacos and at Aston Villa. And that brings in sort of Walcott from the right, Giroud playing well and scoring, and then Campbell, you know, can either sort of drift from the left or switch over. And I think that's quite interesting at the moment. But obviously the main man for Arsenal and everyone looking towards is Mesut Ozil.
Yeah.
He's just been absolutely fantastic. And, you know, his assist rate is awesome. Obviously, if he can add sort of goals to that as well. But I do think at the moment his assists, you know, are absolutely worth goals in themselves because he's just on that sort of incredible, great plane of form. And I think that also with City, great going forward. You have to say they're suspect at the back, but with you know, Silva, Aguero sort of coming back towards form and fitness, hopefully for the busy Christmas period, that will be a huge lift for City in itself, I think.
Absolutely. So you think Arsenal can get the 3 points here, John?
I do think they can, yeah. I just feel, though, that it's a huge game for Arsenal. And I think without Sanchez, I think that could be possibly the defining factor. Let's not forget also that Petr Cech, having equaled the Premier League clean sheet record, could surpass it on Monday night, which would be really interesting to see whether he could do that. I know he takes particular personal pride in that. So I think that will be a big ask. But I wonder, I think this might be a scoring draw. I just feel that City have always got goals in them. I still think that City are my favourites for the title. I think they've got a fantastic squad, slightly let down, I think, by the defence, which still looks a bit creaky, particularly when Kompany's not playing. But I do think they will always give opponents opportunities and chances. And I think if Arsenal can continue their rich vein of form, then they can take one of those. But I'm sorry, but I can never see City not scoring. I think they've got goals in them. I think they've got ideas and creativity as well. So I do think we might see an entertaining scoring draw in this one.
The 1-1 draw, 13-2. Maybe have a look at the 2-2 draw, which is 12-1. John, fantastic. Thank you for chatting to me on the FWA podcast. Remember, if you want to follow John on Twitter, John's been working tirelessly to bring you the Jose Mourinho story. And you can follow John on Twitter at JohnCrossMirror. And there's a couple of articles that are detailed on that Twitter page from the Mirror. Thank you, John. It's always a pleasure speaking to you, and hopefully we'll catch up soon.
Look forward to it. Thanks so much. Really enjoyed it.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.